Erev Tov, Gemar Chatima Tova. I stated once many times already, but I'll say it again. My policy is to try to start programs on time. That runs the risk of being accused of being a yeki. So I wait for 8 o'clock and then I stall for about 20 seconds so no one can accuse me. For the last 3 weeks or so, we've had a series of special shiurim as part of the Yamim Noraim series. I am pleased to introduce the speaker for the closing session. We didn't want to push for tomorrow night, but hopefully you'll all be learning Torah and otherwise preparing for Yom Kippur in the proper way. Rabbi Gold is literally someone who doesn't need any introduction, I think, to this audience. I would say, just on the flippant side, but with a note of seriousness, how many people here have an email address? Okay. Most email addresses are very mundane. They are bubby342 at something, or a name, or something that ended up having to add some numbers to it because it was already taken or whatever. One of the loveliest email addresses for one of the loveliest and special shiur givers, rabbis, and people, Jews, is Gold of Jerusalem. How would you like to have that as an email? @gmail.com, in case anyone wants to write to him. But Kishmo Kainhu, I would like to present the boy from Williamsburg who is now Gold of Jerusalem, and say that even though he's the closer of this series, he will be the lead-off shiur giver for our Leil Hoshana Rabbah program, which you will see in this week's Torah Tidbits in more detail in next week's. And that's at 8:15, Leil Hoshana Rabbah. But in the meantime, we have the Gemar Din of then and the Gemar Din coming up now. Rabbi Gold.
Thank you very much, Phil. Just because you know my email address doesn't mean you have to flood me with all sorts of things. You should see this. You must read this. If I would read everything that people sent me, I wouldn't be able to learn a word. I wouldn't be able to study.
And you have to forward it to
you have to people, right? Yeah, forward it to me. So, I'll tell you, the truth is, I couldn't believe my luck when I applied for this address, and nobody had it. It's mine. It's been mine for about 5-6 years. Because I always felt that when I finally made Aliyah and my address was Yerushalayim, I felt, wow, the greatest address in the world. Now to be zeiche to have maybe the greatest email address in the world. God, I'm unworthy of all of your kindness. The title of this lecture is Shortcuts to Tshuva, according to Rab Zisha of Anapali. The Rebbe Rab Zisha was one of the great Hasidic masters. I believe he was a brother of Rabbi Elimelech Milizinsk, the Neyam Elimelech. And the story is told that it was Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur. And it was one of those years that Shabbat Shuva was right before Yom Kippur. The atmosphere was laden already with the awe, the reverence, the fear of the onset of Yom Kippur. And of all times, it's at Shalosh Sudas, Suda Shlishit by Hasidim was always the time of the greatest sense of piety, in a sense reaching up to the very heavens. The Nigunim that he sang at Shalosh Sudas. So here it is, 1 year, at Shalosh Sudas before Yom Kippur, and Reb Zisha begins to speak, and he says the following: we have to do tshuva shlema. We have to do complete tshuva. It's difficult, but we have to. Remember, in Shmona Esrei, we ask for refuah shlema, complete healing of all of our ailments and our ill. We ask for Geula Shlema, complete redemption. And we also say, V'harzirenu, God, bring us back to you, B'tshuva Shlema, with complete tshuva. So the Rebbe said, do we want half a refuah? Or we want a refuah Shlema? Refuah Shlema. Do we want a half a Geula? Or do we want complete redemption? We want Refuah Shlema, we want Geula Shlema. It has to be done via the vehicle of Tshuva Shlema. But it's difficult, so you know how you're going to do Tshuva? And of course all of the Chassidim are waiting with bated breath to hear what the Rebbe has to say. And he says, we're going to do Tshuva via Rashei Tevot, letters. We're going to use a shortcut to tshuva. And the Chassidim, of course, are waiting anxiously. What are the shortcuts to tshuva, Rebbe Leben? So the Rebbe says the following: let's take each one of the letters of the word tshuva. Each one of the letters stands for another pasuk in Torah. The Tav, and you have it on your sheet, the Tav, Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. It's a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. Be wholehearted with God your God. Tamim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. The Shin of Tshuva stands for pasuk we all know. Every shul has it right by the omid. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. God, you stand before me constantly. The Vav. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The famous pasuk. Love your friend like yourself. The Bet of Tshuva stands for the pasuk. B'chol d'rochecha da'ehu. In all of your ways, whatever you do, know God. And then the Hay stands for a pasuk in Amos, Hikon, prepare yourself, Israel, Likrat Elokecha, Yisrael, prepare yourself before God. End of story. From this point on and further, it's my interpretation. I don't know whether Reb Zisha had in mind what I had in mind, but when I read the story, I remember that I had some kind of a feeling overcoming me that I think I know what Reb Zisha had in mind. And first it was a thought, and it had to be fleshed out, and when I finally worked it over, I decided, you know, that's what Reb Zisha had in mind. So I'm going to tell you what I thought of. Five words, five letters, five psukim. These are supposed to be the steps toward tshuva shlema. I believe that each one of them describes the essential nature of five stations on the way to tshuva. The five stations, the five stops, the five steps, the five levels. The first is the month of Elul. The second is Rosh Hashanah. The third is Yom Kippur, the fourth is Sukkot, and the fifth is Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah. What's left for me to do now is demonstrate how do these psukim describe indeed the essential nature of each one of these periods in time. So let's begin. Tomim tiye im Hashem Elokecha. Be wholehearted with God, your God. I have a Ramban over there. I want to read this Ramban right beneath the Psukim. What's the meaning of the mitzvah of Tomim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha? What does it mean to be wholehearted with God? So the Ramban says the following: Shenitztavenu lihiyot libenu tamim imo yitale. We have been commanded that our heart should be full and whole with Him, the Almighty. V'hu shenema, and that is what's meant when it says tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean? V'inyan hatzava'a zot, the meaning of this command, sheniyached levavenu elav levado, that our hearts should focus on Him alone. V'shene'amin, that we should believe shehu levado oseh kol, He does everything. He's the master of the world. Everything comes through Him. V'hu hayodeya amitat kol atid, He, the only one who knows the truth of what is going to happen in the future. This pasuk, Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, appears within a context in Parshat Shoftim. The Parsha was talking about Torah saying, stay away from astrology, all sorts of voodoo, black magic, all of the various ways in which man attempts to plumb the depths of the future. Forget about it all. Forget about it all. Incidentally, it is, why does man desperately want to know the future? Why does man go to all sorts of unbelievable ways to find what the truth is, what he thinks is the truth, what's going to be in the future? Because man is a frightened individual, vulnerable. He's always concerned what's going to happen. He wants to know the future. So man has devised all sorts of absolutely false ways to achieve some kind of knowledge of the future. Torah lists all of these possibilities and says, forget about it. Tomim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. So the Ramban goes on to say the following. V'umimenu nidrosh haba'ot. Only from God will we seek to know what will happen in the future. From His prophets, u'me'anshei chasidah, from His pious ones. V'lo nidrosh, we're not going to seek it from those who study the heavens. V'lo mizolatam, v'lo niftach, we should never ever feel that what they write in the horoscope is indeed going to happen. It's not so. The only one who knows the truth, what the future holds, is God Himself. Avol noma, you know what we should say? Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven. Tomim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Ki hu mishane ma'arechet hakochavim v'hamazalot kiritzono. If the astrologer says that, well, the constellations, when they find themselves in such an arrangement, this means that such and such is going to happen, doesn't mean anything, because God can change it all, completely. Everything is in His hands. So therefore, we don't know the future, but we do know one thing. God is the one who decides what's going to happen in this world. So we have one choice left, and that choice is to be wholehearted with Him. Rabbeinu Shalom, whatever you have in store, we accept. Hakol bidei shamayim. Do you know what kind of relationship is described in the Pasuk of Tamim, Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. It describes a relationship of absolute trust. I trust God with all my heart. So, I trust Him. I trust Him. Do you know what the next step after trust is? I'll tell you what the next step is. The next step after trust is love. What is Elul? You know what Elul is? Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Elul is the month in which we develop the relationship of love, of dependence, a sense that everything is you. And I feel that in all my bones. This is the purpose of the whole month of Elul. To achieve the fullness of Tamim Tihyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. I was, you know, sometimes my eye hits certain things. I'm going through a sefer. And just a few weeks ago, I'm looking through one of the responsive volumes of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And boy, what my eyes hit. You have it over there on the left-hand side of the page. Left-hand side of the page. I'll tell you the background to this. You remember the bicentennial of the United States of America? That was July 4th, 1976. 200 years old, America. You know? My flag, you know, the stars and stripes were still there. America the beautiful, from sea to shining sea, God bless America, land that I once loved. But I feel I owe a great deal to the United States of America. Gave me a wonderful, wonderful childhood. We have a great deal to be thankful for. Anyway, here it is. These Israelis had to change the focus of that whole day. You may remember. It was a Sunday. July 4th, 1976 was a Sunday, and the day before, Shabbos, late afternoon, as Shabbos ended, anybody who put on the radio heard that something big is happening in a place called Entebbe in Uganda. And that was it. The next day, I remember I was driving down from Worcester, Massachusetts to New York, and one of the ways in which they celebrated the bicentennial was the large ships crossing the Hudson, Namish, from a whole world, beautiful ships. And then it was a rowboat with an Israeli flag came, and the crowds forgot about all of the big boats, and they cheered. That was one of our great days in history. That was the day on which we said we know exactly how to deal with terrorists. I think we have to return to Entebbe, return to Uganda. A very strange debate developed, I should maybe say broke out, in the Orthodox, or better said, the Hasidic Jewish community following Entebbe. It seems that a question was asked, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what happens if one of those people who was rescued at Entebbe finds himself some days in the future back at the airport terminal in Uganda? Should he say the blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you God, Sha'osoli Nes Bamakom Hazeh, who made a miracle for me in this place? The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, yes, you have to say the bracha. That was it. That was the signal for all heaven to break loose. And there were another Hasidic group that says, no, you can't say that. It wasn't a miracle. God didn't do miracle. He doesn't bring miracles through non-religious, secular Israeli soldiers. It's not a miracle. You should say a bracha, it's a bracha of Atala. It became the big debate in the Orthodox community. I just hope that that no non-Jews or others heard about this debate, because it would be very, very embarrassing. So Reb Moshe went ahead, and in one paragraph, he summed up his position on that debate. And Reb Moshe writes the following: "Ubedvar Yehudi shenechtaf beUganda v'nitzol." And with regard to a person who had been hijacked to Uganda and then he was saved, al yedei hachayalim shebaul l'sham, through the soldiers who came there, mistaver, it makes sense, sheyesh lachshiv zeh l'nez galuy, you have to consider this an absolutely revealed miracle, ki bederach hateva, because in the normal course of nature, lo haya efshar liyod davar kazeh, a rescue of this sort could not happen unless the chol ma shenasa ba'olam, everything that happens in this world is rak yad Hashem yizbarach, it's the hand of God, bein letov, bein chas v'shom l'ra, good or bad. V'hu hamakeh v'hamerapeh, God is the one who strikes and he also heals. And then he says, "V'hu also shenishbu," it was he who decided that they should indeed be hijacked and held captive. "V'hu also v'hi ha'hatzola," he made the rescue bazeh through this. "Shenatan ometz v'rotzon sheyelchu l'hatzol," he gave them the courage, the strength, and the will to go out there and save. "V'asher hitzliach darkom," God caused them to be successful, "shehitzilu," that they rescued them. "V'darkei Hashem yidbarach," the fact that God brought the miracle through non-religious people, I don't know, it's not my business. That's not my business. You know, God can make his own decisions. I'm not the one who's supposed to tell him what to do or how to do it. Nobody has the right to be the big smart guy who asks questions on what God does. Elo, tomim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Tomim tiyeh. Tomim tiyeh means I accept God is everything in this world. God is everything. He made the miracle of Entebbe. But we also have to give him credit for having been wise enough to choose the right fellas to do it. He didn't choose other people to do it. He chose the finest in the world to do it. So don't second guess the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Tomim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. There can be no better preparation for the mindset of a Rosh Hashanah than Tomim Tiyeh.
So Moshe would agree that they should say the bracha, they return to that spot?
Absolutely, say a bracha. Absolutely.
But no hallelujah.
All right. So that's it. That's pasuk number one. Tomim Tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha is the essence of the month of Elul. And then we come to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the next pasuk. What's the next pasuk? Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. God stands before me constantly. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to learn with you the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. First halacha. And in that first halacha, it's a famous one, in that first halacha there's a quote from the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. And just as I read it, you're going to decide for yourself, does that describe the very essence of Rosh Hashanah? Watch. Shulchan Aruch says the following, Din hashkamas haboker, the din of getting up in the morning. First halacha in all of Shulchan Aruch. Yidgaber kari la'amod baboke la'avodat boro sheyehehu morer hashachar. Rabbi Yosef Karo says a person should get up strong like a lion so that to serve his creator, that he should wake up the morning. Beautiful. Then, of course, comes Rav Moshe Ishlish, the Ramah, and he takes us down a little bit to the real world. And he says, "Val kol panim, if you're not going to be up early enough to wake up the morning, don't miss davening. Al kol panim, at least this. Lo ya'acher zman tefillah, one should not be late for davening. Sha'at sibu mitpalim where they daven." Now, from here begins a quote. From here begins a quote from the Moreh Nevuchim. The Moreh Nevuchim says the following: Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. God, I place God before me constantly. Hu cloud gadol b'Torah, that is a great rule in Torah, u'b'ma'alot ha'tzadikim, and in the great levels that the righteous reach, asher holchim lifnei ha'elokim, those who go before God. Ki ein yeshivas ha'odom u'tnu'otav, v'asakav, v'hu levado b'beito, the way in which a person conducts himself, how he speaks and what he does and how he moves and how he dresses when he's alone in his house. Ki yeshivato utnuotav v'asakav v'hu lifnei melech gadol. It's not the same when he is before a great king. You walk differently, you talk differently, if you even have the guts to open your mouth. You dress differently. Everything is different. Then he goes on to say, Velo diburo, the way you speak, the har chofas piv, and the way one opens one mouth wide, kiritzono, as he wishes. When you're amongst the members of your family, you know, you say whatever you want to say, which is, by the way, a very big mistake. Don't say everything you want to say. Not everything you want to say is so smart. You know, it takes us many, many years until we learn that. I wonder whether we ever learn when to keep our mouths shut. But anyway, he goes on to say, the way he speaks, as he pleases when he is with the people of his house, ukrovav, and his relatives, kidiburo b'moshav ha'melech, as he would speak when he is in the presence of a king. Certainly when a person is going to pay attention to the fact the great king, the Holy One, blessed be he. I spilled one glass here already. That's why I'm worried of another cup. I keep spilling them all the time. And if I don't do that, I've left a trail of water bottles all over the country. So I'll go back to every place I was, I'll pick them up. But I needed it. Thank you. Certainly, he says, when you become aware of the fact that you're standing before the great king, what are we doing on Rosh Hashanah? We are coronating that king. All of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, God the King. If you want to sum up in one pasuk, the essence of Rosh Hashanah, it's Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. The great king is before me. I walk differently, I talk differently, I act differently, I feel differently, I think differently. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. That's it. I'm going to take you to one other place in Torah where the word Tamid appears. And what's going to be fascinating about this is you may be learning something else. How do we know that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment? How do we know that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment? Take a look. The big pasuk there. Eretz. Eretz Yisrael is a land that God is concerned with and seeks it out. That's it. When I speak too close to the mic, there's noise in the back.
Too close.
All right? Let me stay right here. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha, a land that God, your God, seeks out that land. Constant. Tomid Enei Hashem Elokecha Bo. The eyes of God on that land, may they shit shana from the beginning of the year, ad acharit shana, until the end of the year. You'll take a look at that word, may they shit. You see, it's missing an aleph. May they shit shana, missing an aleph. They shit without an aleph ends up with the letters of Tishrei. Tishrei. And the Gemara learns from this that on the first day of Tishrei, that's when God looks at us and investigates us and studies us and judges us. What may be even more fascinating, and this occurred to me today, right? I said this shiur this morning in Ranana. I think just about everybody from Tel Aviv to Haifa was there at the shiur. There was no place to get in, all right? Makes me feel good. Okay, what do we care? You know what the pasuk is talking about there? The context in which this pasuk, Enei Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota, this land, Eretz is all the land that God seeks and watches over and is concerned with. And Tamid, remember Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Tamid, constantly the eyes of God are in this land. The context of this pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, God is taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Lo ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It's not like the land of Egypt from that you left. The land of Egypt has water that comes from the Nile. But Eretz Yisrael, limitar hashamayim. The rain from the heavens is that which waters Eretz Yisrael. What does that have to do with God constantly watching the land? I'll tell you what. I think it was last Thursday. Front page of the Jerusalem Post. The meteorologists have predicted that this coming winter is going to be a dry winter. It's going to be the sixth year in a row of less than the amount of rain, and we're going to have serious, serious problems. How do you react to that? Don't answer. How should a Jew react to it? You know how would a Jew should react to it? He's supposed to react to it by feeling it's bad. It's bad. But we say Kriyat Shema twice a day. What do we say in the second chapter of Shema? For Hoyon Shema Tishma, if you're going to listen to God and do His mitzvahs, V'natati Mitaratzach, am I going to give rain in its time? And if you're not going to be good, I will withhold the rain. You know what it means? Rain in Eretz Yisrael is a barometer of us. We can change it. Nothing is carved in stone. They can predict a dry winter, and we can turn it into such a winter, there'll be rain gushing all over Eretz Yisrael. So that's why I say, it occurred to me, that's why God has to be constantly tuned in to Eretz Yisrael. Because whatever the prediction may have been at the beginning, it can change any day of the winter. At any day, give them a good downpour. Rav Soloveitchik wrote it in one of his shiurim. He wrote, rain in Eretz Yisrael is different than rain in any other country in the world. Rain in Eretz Yisrael is a direct communication from God. He is sending a clear message. That's rain in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, whatever the predictions may be, the predictions should, of course, encourage us to get our act together, but we can change the weather report
dramatically. Whoever said you can't do anything about the weather? Everybody talks about it, but you can't do anything about it? It's not true. In Eretz Yisrael, we control the rain. Fascinatingly enough, what do you think the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim? You're going to say it in the Musaf Shmona Esrei. When they describe the service of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol enters once a year into the Holy of Holies. And you know what the Maaseh tells us? Brings from the Gemara, what was the prayer? What did he say? You're there, you're in the Holy of Holies. What do you say? You know what you say? We learned it in class. What do you say? We learned it in class this week. The Kohen Gadol prays, Vayikones lefanecha tfilas ovrei drachim. You should not accept the prayer of those travelers at the time of rain. B'shosha olam tzvichim lo. When the world needs rain, there may be a traveler who's caught in a downpour and he's going to look heavenward and say, Rabbeinu Shalalam, do me a favor, stop this rain. Can you imagine? That's what the Kohen Gadol prays for. You know what this is something that has to be thought about, but I'm not going to go into that. Who would pray such a prayer? Why would God listen to such a prayer? That's not for now. The important thing is, it's very clear. We, by prayer, even this fellow who doesn't want the rain, may have some kind of a schus that he will be able to stop the rain. The rain depends on us. Shiviti Hashem v'negdi tamid. God stands before me constantly. God is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. It's all in His hands. But we're the ones that are able to, so to speak, change God's will. So we've gone through two psukim. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha is definitely a description of the month of Elul. Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that is Rosh Hashanah. What's Yom Kippur? What's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your friend like yourself. Great pasuk. What's it have to do with Yom HaKippurim, the holiest day of the year? So I have over here another halach in Shulchan Aruch, and this is amazing. The halach in Shulchan Aruch says, Sheyifayes Odom Chaveru Bi'erev Yom HaKippurim, an Erev Yom Kippur, if you've caused any hurt or harm or pain to a fellow Jew, you should ask him for forgiveness. And you know when you're supposed to do it? If you haven't done it till then, but the Shulchan Aruch writes it by Erev Yom Kippur. Ask forgiveness by Erev Yom Kippur. And Shulchan Aruch says, Averu Shebein Odom L'Chaveru, sins between man and fellow man. Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechape, Yom Kippur does not provide atonement for sins between men and fellow man until I've made my peace with my fellow man. God is not going to forgive you if your fellow man has not forgiven you the hurt. So therefore, before Yom Kippur, why before Yom Kippur? Why shouldn't it be before Rosh Hashanah? Wouldn't it be better to stand up for judgment before God if I have made my peace with those who I may have hurt or harmed during the course of the year? Why is it written by Yom Kippur? Then I'm going to ask you another question. You know what my other question is? We have one yontif on which we sit in a sukkah. We have one yontif on which we eat matzah. We have one yontif on which we light Chanukah candles. Do we have two Yomim Tovim to sit in the sukkah? No. Do we have two different Yomim Tovim on which we eat matzah? No. We have two Yomim Tovim, one called Rosh Hashanah and the other called Yom Kippur, And those two holidays have one mitzvah at their very core, the mitzvah of tshuva. Why do I need two Yom Tovim for the fulfillment of one mitzvah? One Pesach is enough for matzah. One Sukkot is enough for Sukkot. What do I need two Yom Tovim? And if, for that matter, you can just do it all in one. Turn Rosh Hashanah into a fast day, you know, and you got everything. Yom Adin, Yom HaKadosh, a day of atonement, a day of forgiveness. So I say there may very, very well be a correlation between the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, and the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments are divided into two tablets, the first five and the second five. The first five legislate the relationship between Adam LaMakom, between man and God. The second five regulate the relationship between Adam LaChavero, between man and fellow man. I believe there are two Yom Tovim. One is dedicated to tshuva, rebuilding, restructuring, rejuvenating the relationship between Adam LaMakom, between man and God. And you know what that day is? That's Rosh Hashanah. Reverse. Let's go back quickly to the very first day, the day of the creation of man, Rosh Hashanah. Who existed in the world on that day? You know who existed in the world on that day? Adam and Makom. First man and God. Rosh Hashanah is the day on which we rebuild our relationship with God. Yom Kippur is the second half of the Ten Commandments that regulates the relationship between man and fellow man. That's the time where we are to focus on our relationship with fellow man. And I'm going to read a medrash to you that you don't have on your sheet. You know, there are things that I keep for myself, and this is an amazing medrash. Of course, the real reason is because I first found the medrash in the wee hours of this morning, and I had already run off these sheets. Medrash says the following. You got to listen. You got to listen to this. There's a bad angel. The bad angel's name is Samael. Some try to read it Smol. No. It's Samael. Samael is a very bad angel. Samael always finds fault with the Jewish people. One of the classic expressions of ugliness that came from Samael: Jews are crossing the Red Sea. The Egyptians are pursuing them. And God is about to turn the tables and drown the Egyptians, the pursuers, the terrorists. And Samuel says, God Almighty, what are you doing? Halolu over the Avodah Zorah, v'halolu over the Avodah Zorah. The Egyptians are idol worshippers, and the Jews are idol worshippers. Do you understand? You know what happened at this moment in time? The first instance of moral equivalency in the world. In other words, you know, both Israel and the Palestinians have to stop their terrorism. Both sides. Both sides. What do you mean, both sides? There's only one side that are terrorists. But no. You have to be even-handed. Even-handed. All right? So Samuel is even-handed. And he says, these are idol worshippers and those are idol worshippers. How do you deal with these guys? The Rebbeim tells you how to deal. You know, God thunders out from the heavens to Samuel and he says, Shaita Shiva Elam, you idiot! How can you compare the victim with the perpetrator of terror? How can you compare Jews who are downtrodden and beaten to the ground in Egypt and was probably forced to worship idols and compare that to the Egyptians? Where are your brains, Samuel? And of all things, listen to Samuel. You know what it seems to me now? It occurs to me now that on Yom Kippur, everybody does tshuva. Even Samuel does tshuva. Listen to what he says. Ra'a Samuel, Samuel saw, Shelo nimtza chet b'Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim. He finds that they've been judged, and God doesn't find any sins in the Jewish people. You know what, Samuel, he's smart. When he sees that everything is going against him, you know what? You just switch sides. Switch sides. You hope nobody's going to remember what you've been saying your whole life. You switch sides. And you know what he says? Vama, Ribbon Ha'olam, you master of the world. Yesh lecha am echod ba'olam. You have one people in the world that are like malachei hasharet, like angels who serve you. Just as the angels go barefoot, so they go barefoot. Just like the angels stand tall before you, so Israel stands tall before you. And then he says, just like the angels of heaven are clean of all sin, so Israel, you hear Samuel saying, Israel is without sin. And then he says, his last statement is, just like the angels of heaven, there is peace between them, so too your people Israel, there is peace between them. Do you know why there's peace between them? Because the halacha is, on Erev Yom Kippur, you are supposed to ask mechila, ask for forgiveness. We are supposed to be like angels of heaven on Yom Kippur. And angels of heaven, another medrash says, there's no jealousy, there's no machloket, there's no sinner, there's no lashon hara, there's no strife, there's no controversy. Angels of heaven, peace. So the Jewish people, peace. Yom Kippur is the day of Yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Fourth pasuk. Bechol drachecha odehu. Turn over. Top of the, well, those of you who have two pages, second page. Barash bar kapara. Bar kapara said, Ezehu parasha katana. What is a small parasha? Shekol gufei Torah tluyim bo. All of Torah depends on that little parasha. You know what parasha that is? Bechol drachecha da'ehu. The bet, in all of your ways, know him. V'hu yasher orchotecha, and God will make your path straight. Then a line after that, v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim, whatever you do shall be for the sake of heaven. L'shem Torah shenema, bechol drachecha da'ehu, v'hu yasher orchotecha. The Rambam that comes afterwards, very beautiful Rambam, that says that it's possible for us to turn every one of the mundane or other things that we do in our lives, we can turn it all into an act of holiness. You can sleep like a Jew, or you can sleep like a guy. You can sleep like a Jew means I need strength to serve God, to do mitzvahs, to help my fellow man. That's why I'm going to sleep. Or you can go to sleep because I want to sleep. I can eat because I want to garner the strength so that I should be able to daven well, study Torah, do mitzvahs, chesed. That's one kind of an eating. And then there's a kind of eating that is simply to sate my desire for food. Two completely different ways. Every mundane human activity can become an act of holiness or remain an act of insignificance, absolutely insignificant. The mitzvah of Bechol Derochecha De'ehu, the Rambam says, means that we should take all of the activities of our lives and raise them, hallow them, sanctify them, turn them into acts of great holiness. That's Bechol Derochecha Do'eyu. Why do I say that Bechol Derochecha Do'eyu describes Sukkos? First, the Gemara says that the Anshei Yerushalayim, the Jews of Jerusalem, wherever they went, they had lulav and esrog with them. They went to shul, they carried the lulav and esrog. They went to the shuk, they had the lulav and esrog. They were spatsiring down Ben Yehuda, they had the lulav and esrog. Wherever they went, all the mundane activities of Sukkos, they had the lulav and esrog with them. But it's much more than that. This section over here is a letter that was written by Rabbi Avrom Yitzchak HaKohen Cook to his son Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda, and it may have been written during or after the First World War when he was out of Eretz Yisrael. And in this letter he describes the difference, the comparison between the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei. The month of Nisan hovers completely in that which is beyond nature, the supernatural, the wondrous, the great miracles. It's the Ten Makot, Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. Jews going out of Egypt with a cloud of glory and the cloud of fire above them. Everything is beyond this world, going out into a desert that only miraculously do they survive it. When you come to the month of Tishrei, everything is rooted in Teva, nature. Everything down to nature. The sukkah, the schach of the sukkah, can only be made from that which grows from the ground naturally. You take the lulav, the esrog, the hadas, and the arava, at that particular moment in time, when they are at the peak of their freshness and their beauty, you're surrounded by nature. And what is the service of the Beit HaMikdash? The service of the Beit HaMikdash, Simchat Beit HaShoeva, water. Water becomes central to the whole essence of Sukkos. Sukkos is bathed, is surrounded, is encompassed by nature. If Nisan is beyond nature, Tishrei is all nature. And do you know what the purpose of that Tishrei is? To take that nature and sanctify it. To take the power and the energies of nature and turn them into objects of holiness. You know what that is? That's Bechol Derochecha Do'eyu. Wherever you go, trees, birds, flowers, water, mountains, rivers, valleys, everything around you, you see God there. Bechol Derochecha Do'eyu. You know Him. You see Him. You see Him as the Creator, the one who on Rosh Hashanah brought the world into being, and on Sukkos you see Him in every point of nature. Bechol Derochecha Do'eyu. Reb Zishin knew what he was talking about. The more I say this, the more I become convinced that's definitely what Reb Zishin had to have in mind. The last pasuk. Hikon Likrat Elokecha Yisrael. Israel, prepare yourself for your God. What's it mean, prepare yourself for your God? So I tell you, the Gemara says it, Rashi brings it in Chumash. The last day of Yontif, which for us is both Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah together, both of them together. So the Torah says, Atzeret, it shall be a time of gathering together. And it's such a beautiful Gemara, where God says, listen, during all of Sukkos, you brought 70 sacrifices for all of the nations of the world. If the nations of the world would have known how much we prayed for their welfare in the Beit HaMikdash, they would never have destroyed it. Never have destroyed it. Oh, what their destruction of the Beit HaMikdash must have caused them. Oh, it comes flying through my head. I can't help it. These things happen to me. Somebody told me of a book that was recently written that said the following. The world doesn't even begin to understand or imagine the tragedy of the Shoah. This fellow wrote that the chances are, if there would not have been a Shoah, there would have been a cure for cancer. The Jewish brains that went down to destruction, who knows what would have come from that? Take a look at what comes from this 0.2 of a world population. The brilliance of a Jewish people. How many illnesses have we been the ones who have healed? The loss of all of that genius. We can't imagine. The world can't imagine what they lost. We most probably would have been hundreds of years ahead medically, scientifically, technologically. It was just triggered now when I said, if they would only have known how we prayed for them in the Holy Temple and brought sacrifices for them, they would never have destroyed it. If anybody would have had that insight, that God, you're going to put 6 million Jews to death, destroying most probably one of the greatest collection of human brilliance and intellectual wealth, what that could have meant for the world. So the Rebbein Shem says, you've been celebrating 7 days of Sukkot. You've been concerned about the whole world. You know what I want? Let's just us spend a day of Yontif together. The way God says it, the term is so beautiful. Kosher olai pri daschem. It's difficult for me to see you leave, to go back home. Let's spend another day Yontif together. So I read it like this. All of Sukkot, we're the ones who came to see and be seen by God in the Holy Temple. And Shmini Atzeres, he comes to visit us. Hikon lekrat Elokecho Yisrael. Jews, Israel, prepare yourself. God is coming to visit. God wants to spend time with you. Quality time. That's what Shmini Atzeres is all about. Reb Zisha of Annapolis had a brilliant flesh, and I have a feeling that I may very well have interpreted his words. He may have considered it, he may not have, but I just had such a special feeling when I thought of all of this, and then it worked. It worked. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tomer. The first is the month of Elul. The second is Rosh Hashanah. V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha Yom Kippur, when we become like the angels in heaven. Bechol d'rochecha d'ehu Sukkos. And finally, Hikam l'krat Elokecha Yisrael. Should all have a Gemar Chatima Tova. We should all be zeicher to a lot of great things. And our most significant task is to prove the weatherman dead wrong. It's gonna pour. Amen.